and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to two places. We're going to 2 Samuel chapter 22, and we're going to Psalm 18. And throughout this podcast, you're going to hear me misspeak and say Psalm 22, but it's 2 Samuel, okay? I just get my tongue tangled and want to say Psalm 22 instead of 2 Samuel 22. So 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm number 18. Now, I put together a document. It's five physical printed pages, and it has two columns. And those columns are 2 Samuel chapter 22 and Psalm 18. And they're side by side in a columnar format. And I have the verses laid out side by side. And the verses line up, but there's a lot of differences. There's a lot of differences in these two. Now, I'm going to read the headings of both. In the case of 2 Samuel, the heading is part of the versification of the scripture. In the case of Psalm 18, the heading is actually the header, or verse zero, I like to say, of the psalm. And so we're going to start, and we're going to read, and we're going to see if we can figure out. Now, Psalm 18 highly likely came before 2 Samuel 22, but I don't know that for sure. They do have a different style to them. The differences are profound in cases. We went over one of those. For instance, the word rock is found three times in Psalm 18, but it's found five times in 2 Samuel 22. So the header for 2 Samuel 22 is verse number 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. All right. Psalm 18, the header says, to the chief musician of Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Verse 2, 2 Samuel 22 says, and he said. The header of Psalm 18, those are the last three words of the header, and he said. Now, this is immediately the two diverge. There's a statement made in Psalm 18 that is not made in 2 Samuel 22. But let's talk about what this header says first. This heading, the verse 0 of Psalm 18, it wasn't actually sung. It explained the psalm. It explained the circumstances of the writing of the psalm. In the case of 2 Samuel 22, it would not have been sung. It explained why it was written. And that was when he was delivered from all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now, let's think about that for just a moment. What does that actually mean? See, this psalm shows up twice. It shows up once in Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, it's early in the Psalter there. It's early in the book of Psalms. We can't really say that it came chronologically earlier than the other ones that came after it. But it's highly likely that the book of Psalms was done somewhat chronologically. It's highly likely. Scholars are divided about that question, but it's pretty possible that it's written in that way, but the Bible does not say that outright, so we cannot make that assumption. But then 2 Samuel, chronologically, in terms of the book of 2 Samuel, it is late in the book, and it is at the end of David's life is when we find this. And here's the thing. David was not fully delivered from the hand of Saul until after the situation with the Gibeonites. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. He was delivered from the hand of Saul early on, and Saul died in Gilboa, and the Lord had kept him safe, and now Saul's memory is gone, and yeah, David's kept Mephibosheth around, but that's because of Jonathan, not Saul. He's delivered from the hand of Saul when he becomes king and reigns in Hebron. And then a few years later, he becomes king in Jerusalem, and the heirs of Saul are all gone. Because nobody's going to pass the kingdom to sons of a concubine or the sons of the daughter of Saul, which are the ones that are killed by the Gibeonites. Here's the problem. David did not even know this was an issue. He wrote this song and he sung this song and he sung this song of triumph. But there was still a skeleton in the closet. There was a surprise in store for David toward the end of his reign. He finds out it's because of the Gibeonites, and Saul killed him. And I can just imagine David saying, seriously? I've got to deal with what Saul did again? He wasn't fully saved from the hands of Saul until he dealt with the treachery of Saul against the Gibeonites. And so this psalm occurs twice because really and truly it was a lifelong thing. Being delivered from all of his enemies was a lifelong thing. He just thought he was done. He just thought he had won. He just thought. It's kind of like these fairy tales, you know, where they live happily ever after. You ever read some of those to your kids or get read a fairy tale to you? To you when you were a kid, you know, they all start once upon a time, and then at the end of it they say, and they lived happily ever after. I got news for you. There's no such thing as happily ever after. That's not the way life works. That's not the way life works. Now, I realize that's the purpose of the fairy tale. You know, the prince and the princess get together, and, you know, maybe the prince was a frog, and the princess kissed the frog, which sounds a little bit odd to begin with, but anyway, you know the fairy tale at least. And the kiss of the princess restores the prince to his normal body instead of the body of a frog, and they live happily ever after. Really? They don't have any troubles left? There comes a time in your life, especially when you're young, that you feel like you're on top of the world. And you feel like that you have conquered it all. David felt that. And he wrote one of these two at that time. Now, again, he may have made changes over the years, and the one in Psalm 22 reads very differently from the one in our 2 Samuel 22. I keep wanting to say Psalm 22. It's not Psalm 22. 2 Samuel 22. The one in 2 Samuel 22 reads quite differently in several areas from Psalm 18. And nowhere is it more obvious than the very first verse of Psalm 18. I don't know why, but Psalm 18:1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That statement is not found in 2 Samuel 22. And it bothers me. It bothers me. Had David's love for the Lord waxed cold? Had David realized that just loving the Lord, that's not going to keep things from happening, especially if you sin? I don't know. I don't know for sure which one of these came first. I believe Psalm 18 came first. But as we do this parallel study, we may find out something different. It's going to be several weeks. I know that much. It's going to be several weeks of this study because there's a lot of verses to go through. But this very first verse is quite different because toward the end of his reign, David understands a little bit more. And he's been through some things. and he understands that there's no happily ever after as long as he's on this side of eternity. Our happily ever after does not come until after we've died and after we are in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. That's our happily ever after. There is no happily ever after as long as we're on this earth. And, you know, we'll eventually have a new earth. So that's why I say as long as we're on this earth. As long as we're on this earth, there will be no happily ever after. But one day, God will wipe all the tears away from our eyes, because there's going to be tears. God's going to wipe all tears away. There's going to be no more crying, no more sadness, no more grief, no more pain. Everything's going to be new, a new heaven, a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. Will we even think about those that were left behind? Will we even think about those who we witnessed drop into the lake of fire? Will God make us forget like he will forget? You know, that's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery how that when walking that street of gold sometime in the future, and we've partaken of the monthly fruit of the tree of life, because again, there will be months in that land. There will be months. The Bible says so. The book of Revelation, that the tree bore 12 manner of fruit, one for each month. Well, why 12 months? That's a year. You know, there's no need for the sun, but does that mean there is no sun? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I do know there are months, and we'll mark the months by the fruit, and there'll be 12 manner of fruit. And I believe that's why there's 12 months to the year. I don't think it's the other way around. I don't think there'll be 12 manner of fruit because there's 12 months to the year. I think it's the other way around. God created the earth with 12 months to the year to reflect what it was going to be like with 12 manner of fruit, one per month. And the word month comes from the word moon. A lot of mysterious things about that. But that's where the happily ever after is going to be. And we're going to have absolutely the time of our afterlives. I can't say the time of our life. It's the time of our afterlife. As we get to worship the Lord forever and ever. Eternal life. It'll never end. It'll never get boring. It'll never get sad. It'll always be new. It'll always be wonderful. And it's going to be that way. It's going to be that way. One day. Just not today. David, how do I put this? I think when David first wrote this, that he jumped the gun. He wrote it before he should have. God put it in his heart, and he put this psalm in his heart, and I believe David wanted to get it in there, and you know, I believe it's Holy Ghost inspired. Don't get me wrong. There's no mistakes. It's not a mistake that it's in here. I just believe maybe David jumped the gun, and God used that to send us a lesson. The one that actually made the songbook and the one that David put out there at the end of his life are different in several aspects. And the very first one is, the one in the songbook says, I will love. I will love. Now, it doesn't say I shall. It says I will. Those are different. When you say I will, it means you're putting your intents and purpose behind it. Whenever you say for all intents and purposes, that is what you're talking about. You're willing. That means you have a desire and a drive to do something. And he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now I want to notice, number one, that the word Lord is in all caps. That's the proper name of God, what the Hebrews call the tetragrammatron, the four letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. And Yod, He, Vav, He gets anglicized in our King James Bible just a few times to the word Jehovah. And we say Jehovah, But that's not what they would say. They would say Jehovah or Yahweh. And that's how they would pronounce it. Y-H-V-H is the English transliteration. That's letter for letter. A transliteration is letter for letter. But the King James translators, most of the time, bring that word, the proper name of God, into the word Lord with a capital O-R-D. And so that's what is being addressed here. And so the song that everybody else sang started off with that verse, that I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And that is a wonderful, wonderful sentiment. And you know, early in his reign, David would have said that. Late in his reign, he doesn't say that in 2 Samuel 22. Verse number 2 of 2 Samuel 22 is split. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Verse 2 of Psalm 18 is different. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So far that's the same. My God, my strength. Well, now wait a minute. In 2 Samuel 22, he says, the God of my rock. But he says, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Now, he says, in whom I will trust. In 2 Samuel 22, in him will I trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 18 does not record this whole bit about thou savest me from violence. Now, by the time of Psalm 20, or 2 Samuel 22, I keep wanting to say Psalm. 2 Samuel 22, by that time, David has experienced violence from his own son. Now, he had experienced violence before, but it was not the first thing on his mind as he was praising his God. And he calls him his rock. He understands he's not just his strength. He's his rock. There's a difference. Strength means I'm standing somewhere and my strength is in the Lord. But saying he's my rock means that I am actually standing on him. He's not just my strength. He's what I'm standing on. And it's more intense. It is a deeper felt thought to say God is my rock rather than God is my strength. Those are two different things. Now, I realize they mean roughly the same thing, but when you say he's my rock, he's saying, I don't have any strength. It's all him. If you say God is my strength, then that adds your effort to use him as your strength, and it says that you're standing on something maybe that you chose. There's a difference between the two statements. The sentiment in 2 Samuel 22 is a deeper sentiment. It is a deeper thought. It is a thought of, I couldn't even do anything without the Lord because he is the rock I stand on. Whereas Psalm 18 is, I'm going to love the Lord. He's my rock and he's my strength. But he only says rock once. In 2 Samuel 22, he emphasizes that he's his rock by doubling up. He says it twice. This is the first additional rock in 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22 has five instances. Psalm 18, three. This is the first of the extra instances found. Going on down. Verse number 4. If you look at verse number 4 of 2 Samuel 22, and then you look at verse number 3 of Psalm 18, you will find that they are identical. almost identical. There's one word difference. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. That's what 2 Samuel 22 says. Psalm 18 says in verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The word on becomes the word upon. Now, standing on something as opposed to standing upon something, two different things. I will call upon his name means that when I call on his name, I'm going up a level to call upon his name. I'm going up a level. I'm going to a higher power. Now, calling on his name does not imply that he doesn't think he's higher. It just doesn't emphasize it. Calling upon his name emphasizes that David recognizes he's a higher power. But by the time of 2 Samuel 22, he realizes that he doesn't have to call that out because he's already called him his rock twice. And so he de-emphasizes that piece of it a little bit later. Verse 5, 2 Samuel 22. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now, Psalm 18 puts it in a little different light. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Waves versus sorrows. Now, again, sorrows on first blush feels like it's the deeper thought. But the word waves implies that it happens over and over and over. By the time of 2 Samuel 22, he has experienced death in his family. At the point of Psalm 18, he recognizes that there are sorrows of death and they're serious. But then he comes upon waves of death, waves that threaten to drown you as opposed to just sorrows. See how it's deeper in 2 Samuel 22? It's deeper. And we're going to come back and finish that thought, the Lord willing, next week. Okay? All right. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us again next week for I Want to Know More.